Let me think for a second. What do I want to start? Alexa, download the first Bonnie Raitt album. You know, the one with Willie Murphy. Yeah, that's it.
Michael, I just wanted to say to everybody out there, happy shopping this season.
Thanks, Doris. That's Doris Kaloji. We'll hear more from her in this hour. I'm Michael Goldberg with Stay Human. Let's go shopping.
The kind of chemical.
It's the shopping show on Stay Human. Seems like we're shopping all the time now that we can theoretically at least get anything we want whenever we want. And if we don't want anything, there's plenty of folks ready to tell us that, no, really, we do. Do you have rewards, is what they asked me at the checkout counter. A card that entitles me to be rewarded just for spending money. Plus, they don't charge me at all for keeping a detailed record, searchable and sellable, of every single thing I buy. No, I don't have the rewards, I reply, as if I myself am a free man, as if they don't already own me. Oh, the pop-ups and the emails for days before Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Tuesday, Spends Day, Thirsty, 24/7 Day. It's always the perfect time to buy stuff. Alexa, where can I get the cheapest gas around here? And do they have one of those rewards cards? I never would have thought of pumping gas as a time for just taking stock, hearing myself think. Never would have thought of that until GSTV obliterated the possibility. You know, the TV screens right at the pump? Their job is to influence consumers in what they refer to as an uncluttered environment. And at least according to the company, it works. We spend 1.7 times more in the hours right after pumping gas into our cars. And of course, there's millions of us customers willing to contribute to what's known as the data-rich environment. Just pay by credit card, and you are helping to form the aggregate picture of what the customers purchased before or after buying gas. And plenty of the customers have location services turned on in their phones, so the marketers know where we spent it as well as what we bought. Right there at the pump, loud, excited sounds, bright colors, fast motion, what's trending, football action clips, celebrities, food, hot this week. Suddenly, buying gas is a painful assault. Unless I drive around for a station that doesn't turn me into a product to sell to somebody else. My dad used to drive around for a station selling gas for a penny less. This was when it cost about 32 cents a gallon. I used to wonder how much gas he burned up looking for the right price. He was also really into S&H green stamps, with the ritual pasting in of the tiny stamps at the kitchen table. Booklets held together by rubber bands until we had them in numbers sufficient to get something grand, a ping pong table, one time when we waited long enough. He would have had a rewards card. It's hardly a new idea that the more you spend, the more you get, that the cannier the shopper, the more you want to buy. But man, look what we've done to ourselves. Consumer debt has been climbing steadily now for 4 years. The Consumer Confidence Index is near an all-time high. Good news, says the Conference Board for retailers going into the holiday shopping season. That debt, by the way, it's the equivalent now of about $51,000 for each adult in the USA. I know I'm doing my part. I hope you are. Alexa, what was it that the president told Americans after 9/11?
As we work with Congress in the coming year to chart a new course in Iraq and strengthen our military to meet the challenges of the 21st century, we must also work together to achieve important goals for the American people here at home. This work begins with keeping our economy growing. And I encourage you all to go shopping more. And I encourage you all to go shopping more. And I encourage you all to go shopping more. Go shopping more. Go shopping more.
Living in a modern dream. kids who pay. I don't know what about the kids you slay. We won't go sending off our own to play with gung-ho fodder there to pave our way to crimson oceans. Let's go shopping. 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 Let's go shopping.
Coming up in this hour, we'll hear from Julie Crabb on what online shopping has come to mean for our rural mail carriers. And we have a story from Sue Searing on how to get what you want if you can't go and buy it. I called up my friend Doris Kologi in Chisholm and asked her if she'd been out shopping lately.
This is a season for shopping, that's for sure. But I just have to be honest, serious business, and say that I have never been able in my whole life, and I'm pretty old now, right? I've never been able to shop without guilt or without feeling embarrassed. I really envy those women that can shop with no guilt. I've always wanted to be one of those people that feels no shame because, you know, your intellect part of your brain says it's embarrassing, right? As Americans, we all have too much. And then we live in Minnesota, the state with the Mall of America. It's like the cathedral to conspicuous consumption. How embarrassing is that? But I always wanted to be one of those women that could use shopping kind of for feel-good therapy. But I always just feel too guilty. But I got to tell you, my friend Carla in Minneapolis, man, she found a solution. She needs to shop. And I'm not kidding. She needs that shopping, buying, two separate things, by the way, shopping and purchasing things. She needs that fix. So she shops habitually, compulsively at Savers, you know, that thrift shop, that big giant thrift shop on Lake Street there in Minneapolis. She buys stuff, tons of stuff, cheap enough that it's almost like she could haul it back to the thrift shop in a few weeks and then buy it again. I mean, if it felt really good buying it the first time, imagine how good it would feel the second time. Serious business. Michael, my husband's a school teacher, right? He has 200 neckties, not making this up. He has about 200 neckties, and he wears them all. Almost everyone he wears all year, different tie every year. But he has 200 neckties, and most of them came from my friend Carla in Minneapolis that shops for therapy. So that's my goal this season, serious business, to try to shop with no guilt. First, I think you have to, like, dress up to go shopping. You have to feel like you're going somewhere to do something so you look good and you feel good. And I just know that I need to get some serious therapeutic value out of this. You know, I want to be able, honest to God, I want to be able to walk out of a store with one of those cool designer bags, you know, one of those shopping bags with the handles. I don't even care, or if it's L&M Supply. I don't even care. I want to be able to walk out of the store with attitude, you know, just with my head up and kind of swinging that shopping bag, kind of carry it low and swing in a little bit like they do on the commercials. Yeah, that's my goal this year, is to try to not feel guilty about the shopping. So if you see, Michael, if you see somebody anywhere, you know, around KAXE land, northern Minnesota, if you see somebody coming out of a store, just, you know, some old lady like myself with a spring in her step, just, ha ha ha. You know, kind of like, take that, baby. It'll probably be me.
My mama told me, you better shop around. Oh, yeah, you better shop around.
After I got off the phone with Doris, I asked if I could speak to Mr. Kaloji, the man with 200 neckties. Really?
You know, that is no lie. It's not an exaggeration. And I said, but I didn't go shopping for him. I don't know if I bought any ties. I'm sure there have been one or two. I think my first fish tie, I think I probably shopped for myself. But otherwise, I let other people shop for my ties. And I feel like I'm doing a public service that way. And certainly, it seems like for every child, having a father that wears ties really simplifies the whole dilemma of the holidays and birthdays and so on. Because you just buy the old man a tie, right? You take care of things. So I have a holiday tie to take care of me every workday between now and actual Christmas. Heck, I can stretch it out till Serbian Christmas if I want to. I got a lot of ties. I got ties for all occasions. So, but I say shop till you drop. I mean, it seems like that's what people are inclined to do, even though, as we all know, you can't buy love and you can't buy happiness. I'm not sure you could buy an election, but you can shop. You know, I often shop and I don't buy anything. I realize that I get some satisfaction out of shopping, but I don't get that much satisfaction out of buying. I mean, there's buyer's remorse, but there's not a shopper's remorse, you know. I mean, nobody ever really got on your case for window shopping. Well, actually, that's not true. I've been window shopping with other people, and they were window shopping. I don't like that much. So when I'm looking at stuff, I like that. So, I mean, I might look at bikes or skis or other sort of useful things, right? As long as they're tools. Oh, man, gosh, looking at tools. But not dumb stuff, you know. That's a whole other story. I'm not going to say who looks for dumb stuff. Nobody in this house, that's for sure. But I realized when you brought this topic up that I like the process of shopping. And I wonder if it goes back to prehistory, if shopping isn't sort of a stand-in for hunting, right? For hunting and gathering, at least. And maybe when you shop for something big like a house, you know, or a car, that's like big game hunting, you know, that's going for the woolly mammoth. And it might just be in our genes, and we shouldn't feel bad about it. Sometimes, you know, it's useful and practical, like when you shop for groceries. And sometimes it's, you know, kind of exciting, like if you buy a house.
Thanks to Corey Kaloji for putting all this shopping into perspective for me. And, you know, he ought to know, he is a biology teacher, so he has some idea of what makes us tick. Primates in the parking lot, crowding around the doors. The troop is just buzzing with adrenaline. You can feel the cunning and the force. It's chaos on Black Friday, even though they could stay home. It's the gleaming glass, the neon signs, all the things they've got to own, the Xboxes and Apple screens, the rush to get the deal. There's one tightly hugging a box, the victory and the thrill. It's not the having that they crave. The winning is the prize, and anything can set us off. We'll always supersize. Oh, us sapiens, we're not all the same. We compete in many ways, but there's so many ways of keeping score, and others just would rather graze, like primates in the produce aisle. Touching the leaf and fruit, we all were built for scavenging. We all bring home the loot.
feel? Don't you know I feel real?
Sly Stone, and before that, Planet Drum with Mickey Hart, only on your Northern Community Radio Service, KAXE, KBXE, supported by our listener members. I'm one of the hundreds of volunteers on and off the air who make this place what it is. And if you think that sounds like fun, you're right. You ought to stop by our studios sometime in Bemidji or Grand Rapids. And while you're in town, go shopping more. If you choose locally owned retailers, of course, you're going to get much more for your money than just the stuff you buy. That's true in all kinds of ways, including some ways that they can actually measure. For instance, retail stores owned by people who live in the community contribute to community causes at about twice the rate of national chains. And more than two-thirds of the money you spend stays in the community. At a national chain, that's less than half. I think that adds up to quite a bit of a difference. We're not that good at adding things up, though. I was floored some years ago when a friend of mine told me that he was now doing his grocery shopping at the Walmart. The thing that knocked me out was his wife worked at that time at one of the locally owned grocery stores that was now scrambling to compete, and it was her union contract, including the health insurance, that his family depended on. "Yeah, but I save money every time I go," he says. Anyway, if you buy something at the store instead of off the net, you're also contributing to the Minnesota Legacy Funds, including the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, which supports this and other local programs on KAXE, KBXE. When you buy something in Minnesota for $40, the sales tax includes about 3 cents for the arts and cultural events in towns all over Minnesota. That 3 cents might not sound like much, but it adds up, it really does. So thanks to the voters of Minnesota who enacted it, the shoppers who are funding it, and thanks to you for listening to Stay Human, the Shoppers Edition.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, "Son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride." And then she said, "Just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand. Before you ask some girl for a handout, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me you better shop around.
Are you?
I wonder sometimes what future historians will call the time before everyone got online. What'll be the equivalent phrase for the horse and buggy era? The analog age? The pre-boot? I favor the word haptic, even though that's a word I only learned a few years ago. It means relating to the sense of touch, like animals and humans engage in haptic communications when they're nuzzling or bumping or grooming. And it's a haptic experience to take a map and unfold it, run your finger along the blue line. And money is a medium of exchange that used to be a physical thing that actually changed hands when you used it. I don't think those were happier times at all, but they were the haptic ages. Whatever the future decides to call it, for sure the convenience of online shopping especially means that we're all shopping a lot more than we used to, a lot more than we intend to. I mean, you get distracted by an ad while you're reading something on your phone, or by a stray remark about almost anything. Let's see, what kind of that thing could a person get? All this online shopping means that we spend a way more time shopping than buying, but still, it does lead to more buying. I mean, at my house, we're not just customers, we're Amazon Prime. That's why the mailbox that we've had for 30 years out on the road a half mile from the house just had to be replaced. Julie, my mail carrier asked me to please get a bigger mailbox.
Michael, as somebody that is personally acquainted with you, having picked up your mail, she's so right. She really is right. And I'm surprised that I never talked to you about it before she did. And I will tell you something else. As a mail carrier, we look at the size of a package. Of course, the big packages, you're going to mostly go up to the door unless they have a dog. But if they don't, you go up to the door. So you're in and out of your car a lot. And now the post office is mainly a package delivery system at this point. There's still a lot of older people that write personal letters, but it's the packages. So we have to figure that out. But the happiness that a mail carrier finds when they can fit a package into a mailbox, it's like Christmas morning. There is a God. And frequently amongst ourselves in the office before we go out to deliver, you think this will fit in a medium post office box? Yeah, I think so. Good, I'll take it. But I think about, now that I'm retired and just doing it part-time, I think about shoppers like my daughter, who is really good at shopping online. And she gets a lot of her needs met because we live 45 minutes from any major town. And she gets her stuff through the mail. And so much so that the UPS driver, we've invited him to Thanksgiving dinner. He's become a friend. So this year they got an above ground pool, a big one, like it's 3.5 feet by XYZ, and for the kids to swim because they swim now, and my grandchildren, and that probably weighed, I can't even begin, but the packages I couldn't have lifted, and the UPS driver needed help, and we also ordered, my daughter also ordered a gym set with a pirate's turret and a slide. That all came boxed and ready to be put together. I've delivered something. What did I deliver? Oh, I came into work one day and there's this package that's probably 6 feet tall, probably, but about 5 inches wide and about 3 inches thick. It was a bumper to a car. I mean, see, that's the other thing. And tires, that's a big thing. My another good friend who doesn't like to go out much and works on cars, he gets all his stuff in the mail. Tires, axles, oil pans, all of that stuff. And that stuff is heavy. But it's kind of cool that it can happen, isn't it? That's the way I feel about it. I grumble about delivering these big packages, but I think of the ease that we can do it, with which we can do it. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
24/7, too.
24/7. I'm glad I don't do 24/7, but yeah. And there are people that fill voids. I know a person who shops a lot, but she goes to the physical store. She still doesn't. I mean, it's not that she wouldn't shop online. She does. But she goes to the physical store and she gets her things. She doesn't try them on. She brings them home, tries them on, doesn't like them, and then hands them over to some recipient.
That's Julie Crabb, public servant, rural mail carrier, radio host, and someone who knows a good deal when she sees it.
Of it, man. Yeah, has more stuff.
Is that your stuff?
And you know what to do.
That's a lot of stuff.
I have hurt myself.
It might be too much.
Seriously.
Could not resist that Delbert McClinton song on this edition of Stay Human. Coming up, Sue Searing has a story for us, not about shopping, but about a game that is all about money. She clues us in. If you are shopping for others this time of year, it's possible that you'll find yourself at a loss in the toy aisle. Here's something for you to consider for your future virtuoso. Toy piano music from Alexa Morales doing Cole Porter. Pretty cool jazz solo on the toy piano there, no? Natalia Ray, our five-year-old, loves to play store. She's got this big wad of money, paper bills. She's just now starting to notice that some are called 5 and some are called 10 or 20, but she doesn't care much about that. She's very free with her money. She has a plastic cash register, and like anybody with a cash register, I guess, she likes to keep it ringing. So she'll be happy to give you all the money you need to shop at her store. This does not work out so well for her older brothers, especially if they've got the Monopoly set out. But we've got time to play. Her grandma elaborated the game recently by cutting out construction paper, apples, bananas, bottles of milk, each one clearly labeled. She was a preschool teacher for many years, so she's got this stuff covered. They played store, just like my sister and I used to, only with cut-out pictures of food from the shopper. By and by, Grandma got a whole week's groceries, and Tally was ready for something else to manage, so the store was closed, but it will be open again before long. She's a practiced shopper, too, Tally Ray is, whether to pick out a treat or just look at stuff. That's the kind I would get, she told me, picking up the shoes with glitter on them while her brother was trying on some boots. Her grandma takes her shopping sometimes at Goodwill and reports that Tally has a definite sense of what's for her. She picks out the tights with pink hearts on them that might otherwise have been unnoticed and left on the rack. when she was a girl, Gail was not quite like Tally, not much of a girly girl, not into playing dolls or playing house. She grew up the only girl in a house full of brothers, was mother to two sons, no daughter. So shopping with Natalia and shopping for her is a gift beyond measure. Gail knows how to shop. I never learned to, I guess. She takes her time. She's not sticking to a list. And she was in that mode on a recent road trip when she found a little outfit, pants and frilly shirt, just Tally's style and size. "Do you think I should get this for her?" she asks me rhetorically. And then, from the rack to the cash register, from checkout out to the car, from the car to our overnight lodging, back to the car, up to our house and setting it carefully aside for when it's time to present her with it, Gail handled and admired and fussed with this thing. No, let me say that right. Handled and admired and fussed with this adorably cute outfit dozens of times. Very much, I thought, like a little girl playing with her dolly's clothes. She's a careful shopper. No spendthrift is Natalia's grandma. She spends a little bit of money to share a whole lot of that other currency, you know, the one that the more you spread it around, the more you get back.
Dreams are all in shades.
That's Patti LaBelle. I know that a lot of parents, if they're shopping for toys for their kids, have an awful lot of calculating they have to do, like how soon before it breaks, or do they need a helmet? Does this require me to be watching them the whole time they use it, or who else could I get to do that? Is it something we could all do together as a family? That'd be cool, but yeah, would we really do it? Sue Searing remembers wanting a game when she was a kid, a game that's been popular for almost 90 years. It's still stacking the shelves in all kinds of updated varieties. If you do decide to buy one to give away, beware the possibility that you'll actually have to play it with them. Storyteller Sue Searing.
I'm so upset. Hasbro, the company that makes Monopoly, asked the public to vote on which tokens to keep and which to retire. And out went the thimble, top hat, and wheelbarrow, replaced with a penguin, a rubber ducky, and a T-Rex. I mean, really, is there no respect for tradition anymore? Though I have to admit, I haven't played Monopoly in a while. The president ruined it for me. Well, you've played the game, right? You know that winning depends on ruthlessly acquiring property, screwing your fellow players, and building big, expensive hotels. Honestly, it's not fun anymore. But of course, as a child, I didn't understand the capitalist principles behind the game. I responded to it on a higher, aesthetic level. From the very first time I played Monopoly, at a friend's house during summer vacation when I was 10, I fell in love with the board itself. The orderly, color-coded streets, low-rent purple Baltic Avenue, solidly middle-class yellow Marvin Gardens, elite royal blue Park Place and Boardwalk. Oh, and the rainbow-colored money! I love to be the banker, sorting and dispensing cash. And the playing pieces, solid cast metal that felt so good in your hand and made a satisfying clunk on the board. The problem was, my parents weren't going to splurge on a new game. Oh, I asked, I lobbied hard, please, can we get Monopoly? They said, we'll see. I think Mom and Dad had some notion that it would traumatize us kids to actually know we were poor, so they seldom came right out and said we couldn't afford things. Just, we'll see. I did have a birthday coming up in August, but my birthday presents were always practical back-to-school items. So summer vacation dragged on and on. I'm bored, I whined, and my younger sisters joined in the chorus. Mom reminded us that an intelligent person is never bored. Dad responded by supplying us with reams of cheap paper and plenty of pencils and crayons. And eventually our boredom bred creativity. We drew for hours. We wrote. I combined drawing and writing in handmade magazines that featured illustrated stories about a little girl and her magic umbrella. And when I tired of literature, I sewed dresses for my sister's dolls with scraps from the dresses that Mom sewed for us. But I never stopped longing for store-bought games, the games my friends had, especially Monopoly. So I enlisted my sisters to help me make our own Monopoly game. I found a big piece of cardboard and trimmed it to an almost perfect square. I drew boxes around the perimeter and then attempted, from memory, to add the names of the streets, railroads, and utilities. Before long, I was in the kitchen asking Mom, "How do you spell Mediterranean?" "What are you kids up to now?" she said. She followed me back to the playroom where we'd set up our game factory. One of my sisters was carefully coloring in the squares, while the other wrote, $1, $5, $20, $100, on little rectangles of colored paper. See, Mommy? We're making a Monopoly game. Well, in the end, we had to borrow our friend's game to get the spelling right, and also to copy the chance and community chest cards. I don't remember how we made the tokens, though. Nothing produced by children could have been as wonderful as those tiny metal objects. Maybe we abandoned the project before we got that far. Honestly, I don't remember ever actually playing with our cloned Monopoly. And the days and the weeks went by, and then it was August and my 11th birthday. I blew out the candles, and Dad handed me a present. A flat, rectangular box. I supposed it would be school clothes. Maybe that gingham dress with a Peter Pan collar I wanted. But as I tore at the wrapping paper, Dad leaned over and whispered, "We figured you wanted this pretty bad." And then I was staring, in astonishment, happiness, disbelief, at a brand new cellophane-wrapped Monopoly game.
Sue Searing is a frequent contributor to our program, and she can be heard at Story Slams and events around the state of Minnesota. More at SueSearing.com. Thanks also today to Julie Crabb and Doris Kologi and Corey Kologi for being part of our program. My name is Michael Goldberg. I hope when you're out doing your holiday shopping this season that you stay safe and you stay happy with it and you stay human.